that the attack is tied to terrorism at this time. They also said there is no reason to think there is further risk to people at the base. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Not a loan company.
The United States economy added 266,000 jobs in the month of November, blowing away the expectations. U.S. unemployment rate fell back to 3.5%, the lowest in 50 years. Stephen Moore is with the Heritage Foundation, and he's also a former advisor to President Trump on the economy. He tells Fox Business.
It's very, I don't want to keep adding politics to this, but if you listen to what all the Democratic candidates are saying, this is just an economy that's benefiting rich people, right? Only the super rich are benefiting.
It's just
that is complete nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. This is an economy that is lift, as John F. Kennedy would say, this is a rising tide that's lifting all boats, low-income people, middle-class people. In fact, the middle class, the only reason the middle class is shrinking is people are getting richer.
China is saying they will waive some import tariffs on some U.S. soybeans and pork. China's foreign ministry said in a statement today that the tariff waivers were based on applications by individual firms for U.S. pork and soybean imports. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Four people were killed in Florida after a jewelry heist and high-speed chase involving a stolen UPS truck. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky has more on the story.
A deadly highway shooting in Florida. Four people killed, including a bystander, after armed jewelry thieves hijack a UPS truck along with its driver and lead police officers on a high-speed chase. It starts in Miami and ends when the driver runs into traffic in Miramar, about 25 miles away. The suspects engage in a shootout with police. This all starts around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The thieves holding up a store in Coral Gables, and a woman, an employee there, shot in the head by a bullet that ricochets off the floor. She's rushed to the hospital. The two thieves killed, along with the UPS driver and a bystander who was in another car.
Which is not only highly addictive.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention claims more than 6 million middle school and high school students have used tobacco in the past month. The CDC's Dr. Brian King says e-cigarettes were the most commonly used products.
E-cigarettes typically contain nicotine, which is not only highly addictive, but it can also harm the developing adolescent brain. And nicotine exposure can also prime the brain for addiction to other drugs.
Dr. King also tells NBC News,
we are seeing unprecedented levels of tobacco product use among our nation's youth, which is deeply troubling.
For more news, find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Okay, we'll talk about the weather and then the sports guys. And, Bill, I don't know what the weather was like when you were coming in. Earlier, it just said it was going to be cloudy tonight. And now it does say there was a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Actually, there were showers when I was driving down to Flemington. And then there's going to be a slight chance of showers and then mostly clear tonight. Tomorrow actually is going to be a sunny day. Cold, 37 degrees, but it should be a very nice day to get out there. And on Sunday, it'll be high of about 42 degrees, mostly sunny. And then, really, you want to do whatever you have to do outside tomorrow and Sunday, because by Sunday night, later, there's going to be mostly cloudy and then a 60% rain or snow likely. Low is about 32 degrees, so depending on how low, it'll be either rain, sleet, or snow. And then on Monday, the prediction now has actually changed. There's a 90% chance of rain or snow, then rain. High is still supposed to be up to about 55 degrees. So later it certainly will be rain, and maybe early in the morning snow, if in fact it's still down to 33 degrees. By Monday night, 90% chance of rain because it's going to be about 51 degrees is the low on Monday night, and about high on Tuesday, about 60 degrees. So that'll be another 80% chance of rain. And Bill, we're here with the sports guys, and it's just you and I because John is out in Las Vegas licking his, I think it's worse than that. He's licking his wounds based on the Packer-Giant game on Sunday. Well, I have to say the Packers did not play that well, but the Giants just could not do anything. What was amazing to me, and you know I'm a diehard Packer fan, and I've never been to Lambeau when there wasn't a full stadium. I mean, they fill the stadium even preseason. So, of course, those of people who know me know I have six grandchildren. Five boys and one granddaughter. Guess who went to the game with me? My granddaughter, Megan. And, of course, Megan would not wear anything Packers because she's an Eagles fan. So she did wear her Eagles shirt and pants. And we had tickets. We were up in the third tier. What was amazing, the number of Packer fans, or a huge number of Packer fans at times, I don't know if you watched the game, but at times you would not have been able to tell which team did something that their fans were appreciative of because there'd be such a roar that ordinarily you would have expected it was the home team, but very often it was Packer fans who were cheering on our Packers. So I think the stands... I mean, if there were, if there were three-quarters of the stands filled, I'd be surprised.
Well, you know, it's a very funny thing. My brother-in-law and I are talking about going to the Jets-Steelers game on December 22nd. It's real close to Christmas. The game is not going to be that meaningful for the Jets, although they're not completely out of it yet. It's going to be cold. I think and we were joking the other night, it's so close to Christmas, we're only going to see Muslims and Jewish people there watching this game. And how many of them really like the Jets or the Steelers all that much? Now, my brother-in-law, as you know, is a diehard Steelers fan. We were out in Latrobe watching them in the preseason scrimmages, and they looked pretty good, although the Steelers have kind of fallen on some tough times. They lost Ben Roethlisberger to injuries. But, you know, the Jets also aren't doing very well these days, and both teams are struggling. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the impoverished nature of New York football. I don't really understand why it is that the Big Apple, the biggest television and radio and sports market in the country, seems to have such poor football teams. Pat, any insight into that?
Well, actually, they've done some, you know, they've just not done what they needed to do either with free agency or drafting. And for the Jets, I mean, who knows? I mean, the Jets have been a joke for a long time. But they also, it's surprising to me that their fans are not more enthusiastic. The only thing that I recall when I went to the first Giants game years ago is that by the third quarter, even if they were doing well, you know, about a quarter of the fans were leaving. And people said to me, well, that's because it's so hard to get out of the parking lot and it takes so long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that so many of the tickets had been purchased by corporations, so that the fans were not like what I always considered the Steeler fans to be like, and the Packer fans, and the Buffalo fans. In other words, they were diehard fans. Many of them, you know, I've often thought that Pittsburgh and Green Bay were somewhat similar, although Green Bay is much smaller. You know, these were working
towns, class people, working shot and beer towns, working class people,
absolutely.
That kind of thing.
And, well, you know, the big thing in their life was football. I mean, Green Bay, you can't buy season tickets. They get passed down in families. I would not be at all surprised, although the Steelers are doing so poorly this year. Ordinarily, I would have expected that a lot of the fans at that Jet-Steeler game would be, in fact, Jet fans. Now, of course, one of the things also in both California and in the East Coast, there are so many other things that people are interested in and do and have. There's so many things to do. However, the other thing that always surprised me when I moved east is how many people are not football fans. How many men are not football fans?
Well, you know, that's because, and that's not because most of them who are not football fans came from Canada and are hockey fans. It's there are a lot of people who just don't care. There are also a lot of people who have just been turned off by the money, the attitudes, the advertising, and all of the other things that seem to surround the game and don't really add to it but diminish the athleticism, the fact that it, you know, you're really playing a kid's game at a very highly skilled level. You know, there's more distraction, I think, on the coasts for sports that take you away from sports. Now, Philadelphia is kind of a different thing because, you know, it's not a big media center. People love their teams. They put up with them despite being completely frustrated. I recently read an article that said that rooting for losing sports teams is a source of depression. Well, I've been a Philadelphia sports fan for years, and I probably could use some antidepressants, but for the fact that the Flyers have won five in a row but lost game six last night to the Phoenix Coyotes, 3-1. The last goal was an empty netter. Brian Elliott made 15 saves on 17 shots. The Flyers got a lot more shots and had a lot more opportunities, but the Phoenix goaltender really did a great job. He was playing very well. I didn't watch the game, but I saw the highlights. But the Flyers are going to face off against the Ottawa Senators Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And, you know, they're not a good team. They're having a tough year, although the Philly managed to lose to Ottawa in a shootout up in Ottawa. So hopefully they can get some revenge and get back on the winning track here. The Flyers have been an interesting surprise for a lot of us Philly fans. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not depressed, even though it's getting cold and dark at 4:30.
Well, but let me ask you. It seems to me that based on the fact that although the Dallas Cowboys are number one in the East, I mean, they have a losing record, 6-7, and the Philadelphia Eagles' record is 5-7.
That's right.
So depending on what happens, of course, you know.
The Eagles have to play the Giants, and Dallas just lost last night to the Bears.
Unfortunately, they lost to the Bears. I was really hoping that they would win that game because although the Bears are 7-6, you know, the NFC North is very close. I mean, Green Bay 9-3, Minnesota 8-4, Chicago 7-6, and of course Green Bay has to play, they're playing
Washington. They play the Washington Redskins this week.
I know, but what they have to do is they have to play Chicago on the 15th and Minnesota, the Vikings, in Minnesota on the 23rd. So if you look at those three teams, their last few games, their last four games are really significant.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
If the Packers win both in Chicago and Minneapolis, I mean, they're going to stay number one. But the Vikings or the Bears could actually, depending on what happens in the next four games, could be leading in the NFC North.
Well, that's right. You know, and the same thing is true in the NFC East, where, candidly, none of those teams seem capable of actually winning anything. Dallas lost last night to the Bears. I was surprised because Dallas had much more to play for than the Bears. Secondly,
Really think so? I'm not so
sure.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why, because I see the Bears, if they get lucky, being a wild card team. I don't think the Bears have the guns on offense to find their way ahead of a Green Bay or ahead of a Viking team. Both teams are good teams. I mean, Green Bay's had an excellent year. They're 9-3. The Vikes are just one game behind. So when you look at the Chicago Bears, I see them at best as a wild card team. And the problem that they are going to have as a wild card team is that Seattle and Frisco are both 10-2.
Yeah, I don't see anyone in the NFC East or the NFC North being a wild card, because it's either NFC West is either going to be San Francisco or the Seahawks, and unless there's something drastic that happens,
exactly,
and the other one is going to be a wild card.
That's right. So, you know, you have to take a look at the Eagles' schedule also. And let's analyze this. Monday night they're going to play the Giants. I think they're going to win, but you never know with this green bunch of Eagles. The second thing is I think they were really embarrassed by Miami.
Who do they play for the rest of the games?
Well, the Eagles were embarrassed by the Miami Dolphins last week.
It was
a painful game to watch.
It really was.
The Eagles scored twice in the first 5 minutes of the game, and I said, hey, this is going to be a runaway.
And, in fact, I think everybody was surprised. That was going to be, and, in fact, what the prediction was, is that the Eagles could win every one of the last games.
Right.
Their last, at that point, five games, and, come out on top. So
that's
who
right.
do they play? They play the Giants this week.
They play the Giants Monday night, and then on Sunday the 15th, they've got the Redskins. Both games they could win. So, and meanwhile, Dallas is going to play the Rams on the 15th, and the Rams are not a bad football team. They're 7-5. They certainly have a better record than Dallas. We're 6-7. I think if the Rams can beat Dallas, there's going to be a problem. I'll be right back.
Well, okay. And I think what, the NFC South, it pretty much looks like the New Orleans Saints have that clinched at 10-2 because the other two teams following them are, Tampa and the Carolina Panthers. They both only have 5 wins. So that seems like a lock. The NFC West is definitely, the best conference right now. Even the LA Rams have a 7-5 win record. So you have everybody in the East, the NFC East, they all have a losing record, and everyone in the NFC West, other than Arizona, have a winning record.
That's right.
So, you know, the South, of course, the New Orleans Saints just are so far ahead that that couldn't, I don't think there's any possibility, even if they lost the rest of every game, they're just going to be.
Well, they've clinched their division
they
already.
They have clinched, yeah. I mean, that's pretty clear that they've clinched.
Yeah, and they're an exciting team to watch.
They are.
You know, it's interesting. If your football team is playing well, and for the first half the Eagles played well, it was fun to watch. They were up 14-0 in the first 10 minutes against the Dolphins. They went into the locker room ahead by 14 points at the end of the first half. And the next thing you know, the Dolphins, out of nowhere, Ryan Fitzpatrick is throwing these bombs. All kinds of great catches are being made by Miami. And the Eagles just couldn't get it done. And I don't blame Carson Wentz completely. But the one thing I noticed was they stopped running the ball. And I can't figure that out. Why would you stop running the ball against a very porous Miami defense that was obviously looking for pass after pass after pass? And it was an odd game. Plus, we had the Nelson Aguilar problem. He seems to have more drops and more tips. He doesn't seem to go up for balls very well and bring them back down like a DeSean Jackson, who the Eagles sorely miss. I think the Eagles are going to need more than just a Zach Ertz as a possession-type receiver. They're going to need somebody who's a real speed demon, who can go with good soft hands, who can go up for a jump ball and catch it, because there must have been 8 or 9 jump balls where the Dolphin defenders managed to either intercept or slap the ball away. Or just prevent an Eagle from catching the ball.
Well, what's the story on Aguilar? Because, I mean, I think that's one of the big surprises this year, isn't it?
It is.
I
thought he was really going to improve because, you know, remember, he was drafted fairly high. I think he was a number 4 draft pick, first of all. Secondly, he is a hard worker in practice. Third, after his second year, his sophomore year, he went and spent the spring and summer before the Eagles set up camp at receiver school. He went to study at a school that I think that Randy Moss and a couple of other very talented receivers who become coaches for that specific position were running. And we know that he's improved, but his ability to look the ball into his hands and his ability to relax his hands and let the ball come to him have improved. But on the other hand, for some reason, he just doesn't go up for the ball well. And you're not going to have all the tools in a guy like Nelson Aguilar, who, granted, he's talented, he's quick, but he doesn't seem to have the kinds of good, sure hands that a Zach Ertz has. And that's disappointing to me. The other thing, too, is the Eagles should have run the ball much more. But this was a game, where their offensive line, which hasn't been good all year, just wasn't opening holes.
Well, do you think that they thought that this was too easy, that this game was too easy?
I don't think they were looking past the Dolphins, because who do they have to look past them to? The Giants?
That's true. So the Giants, Redskins, and then who else do they?
It's Giants, Redskins, and I think they, on December 22nd, they have Dallas. And I think that's the end of the season for them.
Really? They don't have a...
Do they have a January game? I don't remember.
No, but there should be a game on the 29th.
Don't they play the Ravens?
You know what? I don't know. But, that they have to have another game, because right now they've only had 12 games.
That's right. Well, we'll have to check the schedule in a moment. Pat, it's the bottom of the hour and time to run a few commercials.
Oh, we'll be back in a couple minutes. And John, we hope that you're doing better in Las Vegas than your team did on Sunday. And of course, John had an excuse not to go to the Giants game, or so he said. It turned out that he really did have an excuse. So he wasn't willing to sit out there in the rain, the snow, the sleet. And I think that we, Megan and I, did sit out there in rain, snow, sleet, and actually hail. There was small hailstones falling. So we got the whole weather picture on Sunday. And but it made a lot of sense just to be there and to watch the game. By the way, before I go to commercial, Bill, the way to go to the Meadowlands, I found, is to go into Newark, go to the Penn Station, and you can take the train from Newark, stops in Secaucus, and then there's another little train that goes over to Met Stadium. It is the way to get to the game and see a lot of fans, and of course that's where we first ran into a lot of the Packer fans. So for right now, we'll be back in a minute after we tell you some things about the Chamber and some of our other sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Okay, we're back, and we were talking about whether we should talk about the death knell for some of the coaches.
Well, it's time for NFL head coach death watch. And well, I think the Dallas Cowboys coach is the first to walk the plank. What do you think, Kat?
Well, you know, Bill, I was thinking the same thing. And, of course, you never know what the crazy owner will do. However,
Jerry Jones,
who else is out there? In other words, who?
I think he
right
finishes
now,
the season, and
but
that's
who
that.
Are they going to replace him with? I mean, that's the problem. The difficulty with, as I see the Cowboys, and I don't follow them that closely, but they have some very good players. I mean, remember, you know, whatever you want to say about Dak Prescott, he is the passing leader this year with 4,122 yards the last I looked. So, you know, they have some excellent players on the team. They just can't seem to get it together and win the games that actually they should have won. Now, it's not all Jason Garrett's fault. I think John's... I just think that the owner makes it difficult for everyone on that team. And for him to come out and be as critical as he has been, but again, who's out there? You know, we took a look at... of course, I was interested in the Ohio State-Michigan game, and, you know, but look at Harbaugh. You know, he went to Michigan, and I don't see anyone hiring him back in the NFL. He was not popular, and he's not winning in Michigan. I think there's some very good college coaches around, but is there anyone who's really ready to step up to the NFL? I mean, we know what happened to, and I never liked him, and I can never pronounce his name, but the Rutgers coach. Apparently he's coming back.
Schiano is back,
What's his name?
Schiano.
Schiano. I mean, he's coming back to Rutgers. Frankly, I'm not so sure I would hire him, especially at that kind of money. But the point is, he tried to jump to the NFL, and that wasn't successful. Now, I do have to, however, comment on that Ohio State-Michigan game, and I'm still unaware what is going to happen. I know Ohio State is playing Wisconsin for the Big Ten championship. I mean, you know, I'm a loyal Wisconsin alum and love the Badgers, but I don't think anybody is going to give them a chance at winning that game with Ohio State.
Ohio State's a traditional powerhouse. They've been national champs more than once.
Well, and they've been a Big Ten champion. I mean, they've always been the bane of the Badgers' existence from the time I went to school there. But what I don't know is if Ohio State goes on to the Big Four, which they obviously are, what happens with the Rose Bowl? In other words, I still can't figure out. Let's assume Wisconsin loses the Big Ten championship. I don't know if a Big Ten team is guaranteed to go to
the Rose Bowl
this year. You know,
I'm not sure about that. Usually it's one of the teams out west.
Well, it is. It was always the Pac.
Was it the Pac-10. Ten? Yeah.
No. The Pac. They're not the Pac-12, isn't it?
Pac-12, no.
The Pac-12 and the Big Ten.
Right.
Traditionally, they were always the teams that played
because
in the Rose
Bowl. Because they were always the marquee games that 90% of the country east of the Pennsylvania-Ohio state line wanted to watch. Because remember, you'd always get a Big Ten team, and you'd always get a Pac-10 team. And now, with things jumbled so much,
I think it's always still the Pac-12.
I think it has to be a Pacific Athletic Conference team too. I agree.
Although I guess that's not true because the last time the Badgers went to the Rose Bowl, it was Texas Christian.
That's right.
And in fact, it was so amazing because that Texas Christian only has about 8,000 students.
But they have an excellent football program.
Always have it.
TCU is, yeah, they call themselves the Horned Frogs or the Horned Toads.
Horned Toads.
And
Horned Somebodies.
Yeah. And they always seem to have an excellent program.
Well, not only
do
they have an excellent program, when we went to the Rose Bowl the last time when they played Wisconsin, at least a quarter of the stands were Texas Christian folks, which was amazing because Wisconsin people follow the team. Wisconsin people go to the Rose Bowl, especially because it's January. They're getting out of the weather in Wisconsin. They've always been, you know, good fans, good traveling fans. But I was amazed at how many Texas Christian fans were there. And, of course, I don't even want to talk about the game. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen this year. I wish I knew because guess what? Rose Bowl tickets are on sale.
Are they really?
Yep. I think they went on sale either yesterday or today.
What do they cost?
I think the lowest price is about $154.
So that's got to be a nosebleed seat in a stadium that seats, what, 80,000 people?
Oh, it's huge. I think, is it second largest to the Big House in Michigan? I mean, I know they're over 100,000.
Michigan, I know, is 100,000. Beaver yep. Stadium is 80,000 at Penn State.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge. The interesting thing is this. The Rose Bowl is one of the few bowl games I make it a point to watch, unless, of course, Temple is playing, which hopefully Temple will be invited to something besides the Underwear Bowl out in New Mexico. There was a company that got a bowl named for them, and they were the producers of gentlemen's undergarments. And we always called it the Skivvy Bowl. Because that was the one that Temple went to. I think they played Boise State. It was kind of an odd game to see out in New Mexico, but they did win. Moving along, though, I've always wanted to see a Rose Bowl and a Tournament of Roses parade. Oh. So what's that parade like, Pat?
Oh, I mean, well, I've been to the Rose Bowl a number of times, actually, when Wisconsin went to the Rose Bowl. The parade itself is just unbelievable. I mean, I love the St. Patrick's Day Parade, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing like the Rose Bowl Parade. It's the one parade that you can't really appreciate when you watch on television. I mean, it's just unbelievable that everything on those floats are natural. Flowers or seeds or something natural. And then the fun thing to do is the day after the parade, they have all of the floats in Pasadena. So what you can do is go up to Pasadena and walk through all of the floats and see them all. So it's not only is a parade a must-do, but so is going up there the next day and looking at all of the floats. And, of course, going to the game. Big problem is to find your car afterwards. It is just unbelievable. I'm hoping Wisconsin will go out because I will definitely try to do it again.
You know, it's an exciting thing. I think a bowl game is got to be the preeminent college football experience because if your school isn't a bowl game, even if you're just a casual football fan, it's still exciting, and it's exciting to go to a bowl game. I've been to a couple Army-Navy games, which have some of the flavor of a bowl game, but I've never been to an actual bowl game. And I thought a couple years ago about going to the Gator Bowl or the Citrus Bowl because it's Florida, it's warm, it's nice.
Yeah, but would that mean the same if your team wasn't playing? I mean,
that's the whole point. The Temple Owls have not been a good team for a long time. They've gotten better. They get to go to a couple of bowls, but they're in places like New Mexico or El Paso or places like that, so it's kind of hard to want to go to one of those. And the interesting thing, too, is a lot of these minor bowl games are not well attended, so you don't get the same excitement that you do with a Rose Bowl or with a Cotton Bowl. Now, one of the things I really like is watching a bowl game where the schools are either from the South or especially if the school is from Texas, because in so many of these bowl games, so many of these schools, it's not just a football game. It's almost like a religion.
Absolutely.
They really love their football in
especially
places like
South.
Texas. Southwest. I'll tell you, watching Alabama play, very exciting.
Well, I know somebody who's, actually I know grandparents, whose granddaughter went to Alabama because she wanted that atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. That
now,
big
I can't
time
imagine
atmosphere.
Somebody from New Jersey going to school in Alabama.
But they want to get out of the cold.
Well, okay. You know, but there are other places to go. It just seems to me that it would be very difficult for somebody from New Jersey to fit in with the yalls of down in Alabama and all the rest of it. But they do really love football.
Well, Pat, you know, they do love football, but I'm going to beg to differ about the fit-in business because I find people from the South especially gracious and nice. As long as you like their football team.
I'm sorry, but I see a lot of phoniness in some of the what goes on. And it reminds me, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but from what I hear, some of the college atmosphere sounds like it was back in the 1950s.
Well, I don't know about that. I can't comment, but I can tell you in my sojourns in places like Tennessee and Kentucky and Georgia and North Carolina and Florida, everybody and Texas, everybody's been real nice.
Well, I'm not saying they're not nice. It's just I would find it very difficult to live in some of those places that are still so traditional.
Well, you know, it's interesting because back around 1986 or 87, I actually had the pleasure of spending 7 days in Dallas trying a case in the United States District Court for the, I guess it's the Northern District of Texas there, I forget. And it was in March, and, you know, not realizing what Texas weather is like in March, I dressed for winter, and it hit 80 degrees some afternoons. And, you know, downtown Dallas is interesting. It's a courthouse, it's Neiman Marcus, it's a lot of office buildings, which you would expect, but there's also all kinds of little interesting shops and restaurants plenty of bars. And I learned what a long neck beer was, a long neck Lone Star beer was. And, the place where I ate breakfast every morning, the waitress was a nice young woman who asked me if I wanted sugar for my coffee or if I just wanted her to stick her finger in the coffee and sweeten it up for me. And I won't tell you which I chose.
Let's not go there. The different cities in Dallas are very different. I mean, Dallas, of course, is the big football place. Austin, I love. But in any event, it's football all throughout Texas.
Especially in those small towns. And for a lot of the smaller towns with small school districts, they'll only put 8 guys on a football team. And they'll compete in a league because maybe the high school only has 200 kids. And half of them are young ladies, so obviously, unless they're going to kick the football, it's not like their mothers are going to let them play.
Oh, but they are down there.
Do they?
Oh, they're still playing football in the South.
But, you know, it's fun. And the passion that these people bring to it and the enthusiasm and, their whole thing now, if you start talking to them about ice hockey, well, their eyes glaze over because I think ice belongs in a drink.
Well, you see, the interesting thing in the Midwest, especially in Wisconsin and Minnesota, is, football is king. But you really have 2 kings because hockey.
Minnesota,
grandkids in Wisconsin, and they are Green Bay Packer fans, but they are also hockey fans and play hockey. I mean, the
Minnesota,
kids out there
land
play
of a
hockey.
Thousand lakes, right?
Right.
And every one of them, people are skating up and down and passing the puck. I have never been in Minnesota. So I've been in Wisconsin in the winter. And, there's a lot of hockey.
Even when I was growing up, I mean, we had ponds in the small towns. And, we would shovel off the ponds and play hockey, do figure skating. But here in the East, I mean, now the kids, they play hockey year-round.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're playing hockey indoors. And I remember the first time I had a friend, and this was at the Mendham Ice Center, and they had to take their kids out at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's when they were getting their ice time.
Oh, yeah. You find that some of these leagues start at 11 o'clock at night, and it's game after game after game, because typically you're going to have the high schools or the local junior colleges that don't have their own rinks playing a 7 o'clock game, and then a 9:30 game, and then an 11:30 game, and then after that last school game, it's what we call used to call the Industrial League. They start at 1:30 in the morning and play to 3:30, and that was your ice time. And then the practices would start about 5:30, where all these poor hockey moms would be bringing their 8-year-olds to play.
Well, so, and of course now, and I understand that you know, some of the high schools in this area really have good soccer teams.
That's true.
So that the kids are not only are they playing football, but they're playing on these soccer teams. And I understand now there are at least a couple kids from this area who are playing in an advanced team that plays over at Rutgers. So these kids, if they're really good, they are dedicated. I mean, I know my grandson who actually was recruited for the juniors after high school. I mean, that was very important. And the one thing that I do like about all of these teams is at the high school level, they're really emphasizing that the kids have to make grades. And the reason for that, of course, is if they're really good and they're going to be recruited, they want to go to a Division I school. And, you know, most of these schools have, other than the South, have really academic standards. So they can't just be, in most cases, they can't just be a good athlete. They also have to at least have, you know, some smarts, because they're not just going to get through college in most instances without, you know, doing some work.
Well, that's a question of learning focus and time management and prioritizing things, all important skills for young people and also for older people as we age. But, Pat, I wanted to shift gears for a few minutes because we know we only have a few minutes left, maybe 6 or 8 minutes. And I wanted to talk a little bit about our Get Up Off That Couch feature that we've gotten away from a little bit, but I want to get back to. In the past, we've had people come on and talk about hunting and bow hunting, bear hunting even. We've had people come in and talk about marksmanship sports, manufacturing and caring for very old firearms. I know that those are always tough issues and controversial issues because, yes, they're blood sports. They involve guns, and something terrible just happened in Pensacola the other day, this morning, at the Naval Air Station.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with hunting, let's not talk about it.
Exactly. So I want to move on from that. We have folks that live and work in Hunterdon County, and they go on some very interesting sporting trips. They go fishing way up in Manitoba. They hire First Canadians, Cree, from the Cree tribe, to be their fishing guides, and they fly to a different lake every morning, and the float plane lands, and they go fishing, and at 4 o'clock, the float plane comes back and picks them up and takes them back to the lodge, and they go to a different lake, and they catch some pretty good-sized fish. And I have a friend who would love to just come on and talk about
that. Well, why don't we have him on?
I think that's exactly what we're going to do. And then I met a fellow who works in a bow and arrow shop down in Stockton, and I'd like to have him come on and talk about the sport of archery. It's not just hunting. It's also a very skilled and very ancient sport. Then we have...
Well, of course, you know, some of the most proficient deer hunters are the guys who go out there and use a bow and arrow.
That's right.
That has to be incredibly skilled to get a good-sized buck if you're out there with bow. And I know that the bows and arrows today are, you know, much superior to what they were when I'm thinking about it. And actually, believe it or not, since I went to a girls' high school, archery was one of the sports, along with every other sport other than football, that we participated in.
Well, you know, archery has always had a special kind of fascination as a, quote, women's sport. If you look at the ancient Greek goddess Diana, the goddess of the hunt, the huntress, she's always shown with a bow and arrow. And if you go to the Philadelphia Art Museum, there's a beautiful statue of Diana, and she's got a bow pulled all the way back, and she's just about ready to release the arrow. The statue is very striking. It's also about 16 feet tall. It's magnificent. Anyone who wants to get to the Philadelphia Art Museum, take a look at this after you've looked at Rocky. It's very impressive. But there's some other sports I wanted to talk about here in Hunterdon. You know, we have the Top Dog or Old Dog Boxing Club. They've been one of our guests here in the past. I'd like to get them on again because, you know, these are the kinds of sports that are fun to watch and fun to participate in. I myself am taking high-impact aerobic kickboxing over at HealthQuest every Monday night at 7, and I'm also going to start doing it Sunday mornings at about 9. Additionally, we have a tremendous number of people out there riding bikes, even in this frosty weather, on some beautiful trails that we have here in Hunterdon. And I wanted to talk also about something else, because we just had our first snow.
Let me say that what I didn't realize is how many of the bike riders, both bikes and bikes, are now doing their winter practices at a new facility in Lebanon called Velocity.
I haven't heard about
that. And if you haven't heard about Velocity, check it out. Barb, who owns and runs it, is really enthusiastic. But the amazing thing is you have to go and try one of those bikes. And Bill, you would be amazed. These are not what we consider the old stationary bikes. They are bikes that, and I can't even explain it, but you will get a total workout. And they're right down on Main Street in Lebanon, and it's where the old Indian motorcycle store used to be.
And, well, I know just where that is. Pat, you know, HealthQuest also offers spin. These bikes are about, they're sort of like computers with pedals and wheels.
Yeah, but then you have to join HealthQuest. And for people who don't want to do the whole thing at HealthQuest, I mean, this is very specific. They do a number of different classes. And, in fact, I'm going to indicate to people that I know they're having an open house on Monday night, this Monday the 9th. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's from 6 until 8:30. But call Velocity and, you know, you'll be able to just meet different people. I know that there's a BNI group that is going to be co-sponsoring the open house. However, you don't have to join BNI. You don't even have to, you know, sign up for anything at Velocity. But it's really worth coming out, meeting some people from Hunterdon County, and taking you know, a ride on the bikes.
Well, that sounds like fun. Pat, you know, I wanted to talk in the last couple minutes that we have. We used to have a neighbor, an old, actually the family, and the grandmother was in her 80s, and she was from Finland. And in the coldest, snowiest weather, she would put on her cross-country skis, and she would walk the family's dog. And it
oh,
was a
absolutely.
Big dog. And, you know, she and I've been a cross-country skier now for about 15 years. It's a lot of fun. It's a good workout, but we've got to get more snow. So I would be out there on my skis, and I would see this 83, 84-year-old lady being pulled by this big dog. The dog was an Irish wolfhound. That's not a small dog. And I'd be, you know, trucking along, and she would be passing me and slow the dog down because he would be pulling her, and she would say, she would give me critique on my technique for pulling and kicking. And so we became kind of friendly, and I learned that she had been on cross-country skis since she was a very little girl, like 3 or 4, back in Finland in the late 30s. And her oldest brother was a soldier who fought on skis in the Russo-Finnish War in 1939 and 1940, in fact, was killed. So she wasn't particularly fond of Russians. For that reason. But on the other hand, she was an excellent skier. She told me that skiing, cross-country skiing, was what kept her healthy and kept her bones and joints in good shape, because she was constantly moving. And she could, even in her 80s, go 3-4 miles. I was exhausted.
Well, that is a good message, that there's so much out there. There's so many sports, and if you can't ride a bike during the winter and you want to keep in shape, look up Velocity. There is, of course, we don't talk about much about tennis, but, of course, there's so many avid tennis players. And for those of you who like to sit on the couch, join me to watch football. In fact, tomorrow night will be the Big Ten championship. I think it starts at about 7 p.m.
And who's competing, Pat?
And it's Ohio State and Wisconsin. And let's hope it's not a blowout. Let's hope that Wisconsin does much better than Michigan did against Ohio State. And, of course, anyone who knows about that rivalry, I think that's probably one of the best rivalries in football, Ohio State and Michigan. They always play their last game of the season, and they really rubbed Harbaugh's name in it this year. So, anyway, we're about to close
about to
the show,
off the air and
we'll
the
play another spot if we have time. Otherwise, see you next week, and John will be back.
Get up off that couch, folks. It's going to be a good weekend.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the chamber for more information today.
And people taking selfies next to that as well. So remember, the gingerbread houses are on display through Christmas. And we highly urge to reward your senses by coming in and just checking them out. The kids have just been, I just love watching kids come in and like seeing like they didn't know they were there and then they're there. The kids are just like, you got to love kids this time of year. Another good thing to do this time of year, Jennifer, just even if you don't visit them yourself, go see a Santa. Just when kids going to see Santa. I mean, if that doesn't get you in the Christmas spirit, nothing will. Them waiting in line, then them finally seeing him, it's just, that's what Christmas is all about, right there.
But I will say the Jack in the Box near the Santa at the Axford Valley Mall is kind of creepy looking.
The what?
There's a Jack in the Box at the Santa Land.
Is it live?
It like it moves.
Oh yeah.
Really creepy. Just saying. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you.
Good night.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clear.
Library is always there for you.